CliffCentral.com.
It is a chilly Monday morning, a brisk end to the month of May. What, did you not like my brrr sound?
Yes.
All right, I'm sorry, I can't help these sounds. What must I do? So we're ready to head into the month of June, the middle of the year. We're actually recording our TV show for the last month of this year. It was a year that we started, a year ago that we started doing the TV show. So we've got how many more episodes here? Right. Four.
I think in terms of today.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got four more. I mean, so let me just think. So June has 30 days.
We're going to start calculating.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
Here we go. We're doing a calculation. But we do have a holiday in June. Remember, 16th of June. And this year, the 16th of June falls on a Saturday, which is no use. No, it is a Sunday. 16th of June is a Sunday. So that means
we'll get the Monday.
Yeah, so we no, sorry, it isn't. No, sorry.
No, 16th of June is a Wednesday.
Oh, no, guys.
It's a Wednesday, Nochal.
Wednesday, yeah. But we do have four shows this month, and those are the last four TV shows we've got. And one of them is on the 16th of June, which is, of course, Youth Day. That means that we'll get that day off. That's going to break that week in half. So we're going to have the Monday, Tuesday, then we're going to take off the Wednesday and go back to work for Thursday, Friday. So that's possibly a gap for some people to try and get some leave. But I'm just going to reiterate what Sia said earlier about how we've finally got coronavirus at Cliff Central. So part of the reason he's in the studio today is because he can be in there on his own and we don't have to have anyone else in there. And therefore, no one's going to get it. Sia hasn't got it, but there are two people at Cliff Central who have been for tests and are COVID positive, and there are two other people who potentially are. So I suppose that means no one else is going into the office this week, right? Unless they absolutely have to.
Well, yeah, we'll have to almost like tag team between each other when one person comes in and another leaves. Like I was given very strict and rigid instructions about come in and then wipe things down and then just be careful where you sit. But meanwhile, a couple of days ago, as of Wednesday even, and even on Friday, we were all here together around each other. So you really don't know how this thing spreads and who gets it and who doesn't. You know, I was practically like right next to one of the people who tested positive and I'm fine and I don't have it. So you just don't know.
Well,
you're in the building now completely alone.
To the killer who's
who's that behind you?
Sia,
don't that? Even. No.
What's happening? Are you all right?
I'm actually.
Hold up your left hand if you want us to send the police.
Yeah. Wink if you're okay.
So I have. There are two sets of doors that are locked. And I've locked myself in. And then I've plonked myself at a particular angle where I can see down one corridor and then I can see through the windows to the main staircase as well. So, yeah, I'm good.
You're watching.
All is gonna have your eye out.
Oh my god, I hurt myself.
What was that, Sia?
Huh?
Sure, I heard something now.
Hey, I'm also willing to take one for the team. If I get mugged while live streaming, that'll be great.
Well, it would be interesting. Yeah, it would definitely make the show that much better. So, Sia, we're not going to give out the address now, but we might give it out later.
Hey, wiggle, if anyone wants to.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, yes, I had a weekend away, but apparently a lot's happened. Boris Johnson apparently married his fiancée in a surprise ceremony. That was quite interesting. I didn't know about that at all. I didn't pay any attention to news at all. I didn't even respond to WhatsApps over the weekend. I pretty much switched my phone off and left it in the car. So I was very pleased not to have any contact with any people on the outside. I didn't know what was in the news. I only found out that Cyril was going to address us on the way back yesterday afternoon. So I paid no attention. What did I miss?
But aren't you feeling better for having that news?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just wish I could get
I did the ex-in-laws thing.
Oh, yeah. How did that go?
Yeah, and I was thinking about you yesterday.
Gosh, it's so interesting. So many people were invested in this. I didn't even know. My brother had like a WhatsApp group that was all, they were all asking what's happening while we were there yesterday. So it was yesterday that we went. And it was exactly as I thought, where it would be a lot of anxiety and build up into driving there, thinking about getting out the car, all of that sort of thing. How awkward is it going to be? And then it ended up being okay. So it was actually really nice to see them. I mean, they were part of my life for a long time. And as mentioned, the dad is now 90 years old.
Sure.
I think the thing that struck me the most was just talking about the tragedies that their family and our family have experienced since we last saw each other. And realizing that we've all come out of this okay. There's just been a lot to take in. But yes, there were conversations about, what everyone's been doing and what relationships people have been in. But I did have the chance, which was quite nice, thinking that, you know, when you do have a breakup in a marriage or a relationship, that the story of how it happened always sticks in people's minds forever, and that's how you think that's the truth. Yeah. But not even you yourself will realize the full truth until years later, when your mind and personality have developed even more, and you can look back and say, "But I was so young at that stage. No wonder I made this decision or made that move."
Also,
we
can't be relied upon to remember things accurately. We remember things so subjectively. And, you know, they've done these experiments over and over again. They do it in the court of law almost all the time, where they will ask someone, you know, when an accident happens, to please describe it and write it down on a piece of paper and draw a little diagram. A year later, they'll ask them the same set of facts have come into play, and what do you remember? And they'll have a totally different view of what happened.
Ooh.
5 years later, they'll barely be able to recall a single detail of that event. And, you know, more than 10 years later, they've got their own completely different narrative. No. I was going extremely fast, and it was this corner that went left. Meanwhile, it went right, and meanwhile, they were going slowly. You never know. I mean, humans cannot. Our memories are so unreliable. We remember things that suit us. We forget things that don't suit us. We forget things that are material. And it's amazing. Even in relationships, you break up with someone, you make up with someone, or you get together with someone. And a couple of years down the line, you don't remember anything that actually happened. You've got your own narrative playing in your head. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you'll believe whatever you've told yourself. Mm-hmm. The circumstances under which we got divorced, we each had our own narrative, and whether it was mine, his, or our parents. Mm-hmm. And I brought up something that I'd never brought up at the time of our divorce. And I said, you know, I remember because a lot of the marriage breakdown was blamed on me.
Sure.
And because of things that I had done.
Yeah.
And through conversation at the table, I said, I do remember him waking up the one morning and asking the question, "Are you happy?" And I answered yes. And I said, "And you?" And he said, "No." And I brought up that story. And
what the days of our lives was happening in your bed? Oh.
To see his parents going, "Did he say that?" And I'm like, "Yes, he did." So I was able to change the narrative a bit and remind them that, you know, it wasn't just me. And that was really cathartic for me and uplifting.
Three quick questions, Leanne. The first is, leading up to meeting with him, on a scale of 1 to 2, I needed a diaper change. How was your anxiety? Because we know you feel things hugely so.
No.
It wasn't so much anxiety. It was just, I don't want to be here and I don't want to do this.
Okay.
Please make it stop. I wish someone would cancel.
Second question. as either they open the door or as you walk up the stairs to them and you see them for the first time, what are you thinking and what did you do? Do you go for a hug? Do you just wave from a distance and sit down? Do you, like, are you cordial and pleasant with them?
So they met us at the car. They both had their walkers, which is obviously completely different to how I'd seen them before. And, you know, my mom was, I was very focused on my mom, her being in a wheelchair, so getting her out of the car. But when I came face to face with them, I felt warm about it.
Well, that's good.
The biggest thing for me, my biggest anxiety was they're not going to recognize me because I've put on weight. That was my big insecurity. And the way I took away from that was, but just remember, they were walking and now they're using walkers. They've aged incredibly. They're now in an old age home where they weren't before. So there were so many things that I could take away from my own mental issues.
Last question is, do you know if your ex knows?
Sorry, Sia. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I forgot you had a third question. Do you know if your ex knows? Yeah.
Yeah, do you know if your ex knows about this meeting and did he give his blessing, so to speak?
So remember that my ex actually had a fatal series of heart attacks a year or two ago, and he had to be revived many times. He actually died many times. And was eventually resuscitated, and he was in a coma for a while. And after he came out of that, he was the one who phoned my mom and said, "You know, I just my whole perspective on life has changed, and I just wanted to know how you are because I know that you've had difficulties too." So you must remember that that's the background and the dialogue. So it is very open, and they would have known. And I suppose they'll have a bit of a debriefing now. But let's see.
Yeah, I still think it's probably good. I always like it when there's a little bit of reconciliation, even in the most difficult, you know, sort of situations and circumstances. I always like it when people can find a way to appreciate each other for the time that they were together and to get on with their lives afterwards without regret, without a desire to make it happen again. All of that is in the past, but you can appreciate it. You know, the time that you're with someone is the time you're meant to be with someone. And after that, who cares what happens? It's, you both have your own lives now. You're both doing your own thing now. And, neither of you want to be back with each other, but it's nice to look back on the time that you had and feel good about it. The times where you were happy. I mean, you must never forget you loved each other enough to want to marry each other once.
Yeah, absolutely.
And enemies after that.
Exactly. And I think what was also important is, you know, when you have a divorce or whatever, you don't get to debrief the rest of the family who are very much affected. It's like a drop, throwing a stone into a pond, on how you went through it. And, I was able to say to them, it took me 8 years before I could have another relationship. I was deeply traumatized by it. And I think they appreciated that. It wasn't just walking away and starting a new life.
Sia, of course, doesn't agree with any of this. He believes in
karma. No, of course he doesn't. He
believes in biting my tongue.
And ruining their lives. And basically salting the earth after they've been walking across it. So that's how Sia feels about these things.
No, Leanne, you clearly didn't take down the number of the very powerful Sangoma last week. We could have, ended this differently, but alas, okay.
I'll tell you something else quickly, is that I also saw a healer this weekend, just on the Saturday, actually.
What kind of healer? What kind of healer?
One that uses very esoteric things like lighting sage and banging drums and getting your body in line and all of that. So it's been a very eye-opening weekend.
Good for you. Whatever path you choose to take, good for you. I mean, listen, I have to get back to my routines that make me feel better. I have to exercise today. I have to eat properly because I ate way too much food over the weekend.
Oh, so dear.
yeah, get back into shape, get back into form, get back into my normal routines. I love it. I don't have any problem with those routines. Those are the good ones. I do want to know though, does anybody have any detail on Boris Johnson's little surprise marriage?
No, this is the first time I've heard about it.
It was just a very brief ceremony, and they released a short statement on it. They say that he and his fiance, now wife, Carrie Simmons, were married in a small ceremony at Westminster Cathedral on Saturday. The event was not announced in advance, and media reports said guests were invited at the last minute, adding that senior members of Johnson's office were unaware of the wedding plans even. So the official statement simply says the Prime Minister and Ms. Simmons were married on Saturday afternoon in a small ceremony at Westminster Cathedral. The couple will celebrate their wedding with family and friends next summer, because currently, according to COVID-19 restrictions in England, weddings are limited to 30 people. So I guess it was more, this weekend was just like perhaps the official signing of documents, but the massive ceremony will happen next summer. Just as a reminder though, just pointing it out there, Boris Johnson is 56 years old and Carrie Simmons is 33 years old. They've been happily living in the same city.
Yep.
What is that number? 23 years. Okay.
Yeah. So how old did you say Boris was?
56.
Okay. So 56 divided by 2 is 28 plus 7. Yeah. She's well within the range.
Wait, basically, how do you work
that
out?
I can't believe you still believe that calculation.
No, I do. I still do. I think that that's it. And you know what? Here's the fact. I mean, like, women mature faster than men. So a woman in her 30s is, as in my opinion, I know this is, there's no way I can scientifically prove this, a woman in her 30s is mentally at the maturity age of a man in his 50s. So I think that that's a good gap. And I think also, you know, men, unless they have a wife who's slightly younger than them, men tend to get very old very quickly and become very boring and very habitual and very irritating. And a young wife and kids will keep a man young, and they'll keep a man vital and useful and excited.
But then there's the other argument, and that's that a woman will still have a good hormonal balance that outlasts men's.
Yes.
So men start losing testosterone at quite a young age. And, you know, women at the same age are still good to go.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's precisely why I think that, you know, that history has never really been unkind to men who've had wives who are 10, 20 years younger than them. History's been very judgmental about women who've done that. I think unfairly, but it's usually because the biology operates in one direction and not the other. But anyway, good for Boris. I mean, listen, Boris Johnson is a bizarre human being. He's very, very funny. He's very, very clever. But the fact that he even made it to being prime minister is just, most people would never have guessed that when he was writing for GQ magazine and, you know, he was this media personality more than anything else. Now he's prime minister of Britain. He's led them through a pandemic, which has been really tough on the people of England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. And I suppose, you know, for him to be personally, to find personal happiness in all of this is quite an achievement. So I say good. The more people that we can have marrying and being happy, the more people we can, they've already got kids together.
Child, and then he was previously married and has children from a previous relationship as well.
But he had this child with Carrie, what, 2 years ago?
In April of 2020, it was a bit of a lockdown baby. Their son, Wilfred Lowry Nicholas Johnson.
Awesome. And good for Boris. I mean, listen, to have a new child, a two-year-old, would be 1 year-old now, at age 56, that, you would need people, you'd need people around to help you. And your wife may be in her 30s, so she may still have lots more vigorous energy than you have, but you're the Prime Minister of Britain, so you have a pretty tough job. I would imagine there's quite a lot keeping Boris busy at the moment. And if this is, if he's managed to find a relationship and personal happiness, despite being so busy, then there's no excuse for the rest of us, right?
Oh, no, there is an excuse. At 56, really? I don't want to be... Yes, at 56, my back just became sore thinking about it. He's now still going to be walking over pieces of Lego. My niece is at this point now. She has these toys that make noise, and she's taken by the noise they make. So she's not been able to connect the dots that if I press this button long enough, there'll be this sound for long enough. So at 56 years old, you're coming back from the office and you're hearing this beep from toys.
No, that's where you have someone to look after the children while you're no. You don't, absolutely not all the time. You have a couple of hours set aside for the children. Hell no. I just want to throw this in quickly. Peter says on the issue of Leanne and her parents-in-law getting together, Peter says, I have two ex-wives and I am best friends with them and their families. I don't understand all this tension that you guys have. Well, Peter, you're very lucky. I mean, listen, not all of us can navigate these things. Either you're lucky or you're stupid, Peter. I don't know. I'm not going to judge you. But, not everybody has great relationships with their exes or their ex-parents-in-law. I mean, who expects that to work out well? Most people, I suppose, would probably have terrible relationships with their exes and their parents. But you obviously are different to the rest of us, and I commend you for it, like I said.
Yeah. I mean, especially if there are children involved. I think it's very different when you have absolutely nothing left tying the two of you together.
That doesn't matter. I think McDonald's parking lots have done so much more for bringing families together than staying friends with your exes. Have you guys ever spotted like a car parked at a parking lot and you can tell that children are being swapped in the occasion?
No, I've never actually noticed
that. You've never seen that? Yeah, or sometimes
is that where parents swap their children in parking lots?
Jesus. Sometimes, or you can tell that a kid is being dropped off at a school and they aren't coming back with that parent. They now have a bag for clothes for the weekend because maybe dad is going to pick them up later. Have you never, maybe I do too much people watching.
I've never even noticed that stuff.
I think Gareth and I are far too self-absorbed to notice when that stuff.
When you hate each other that much, you think, you are not even allowed to come to my house, so fine, let's stop at the corner, the kid will jump into your car, here's the bags, now go.
Yeah, it's a reality. You get a Big Mac and swap kids.
Okay, well, see, I need to pay more attention to this. There are a lot of cool comments coming in from people who are talking about being older dads. Ruth says her dad was 53 when he had her. So you see, these things, they do happen. There is still hope for those men who are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s and think, oh, I'm never going to get anyone. Like I was talking to Ben the other day, and he was saying there's just very, very poor choice for him everywhere he's looking at the moment, and he's feeling very forlorn about it. He says he might have to go to a foreign country just to see what whether it's a South African thing or whether it's a him thing. Anyway, all right, we've got to get to Collectomania this morning. It's always my favorite part of the week because I am a collector. Yes. And if you suffer from collectivism or collectionitis or whatever you want to call it, you might have an obsession with collecting certain things. You could be a fanatic, a devotee, an aficionado, someone exhibiting enthusiasm or strong passion for a particular thing. And this morning, we're continuing our weekly dose of Collectomania. We're talking to compulsive collectors, and it's brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And for today's episode, we are joined by Jasmine Mulholland, who is one of the most interesting people that I know. And I had an inkling, I had some kind of idea in the back of my mind that this woman collected a whole bunch of crap. And I'm absolutely sure.
I call it crap. I call it treasure.
It's her treasure. I don't know for a fact that it's crap. I can't say that, but I knew that you were a collector. So Jasmine Mulholland, if you don't know her already, she's also well known to our audience because she's Rich Mulholland's wife and beautiful partner. For how many years have you two been together?
10 years.
Good Lord.
Wow.
Good Lord. So, Jazz. So what do you collect? Because I just knew that you collected stuff, but I wasn't sure what it was. So tell us.
I said to Sia last night when you contacted me, I thought, you know, I'm that transparent. I actually don't collect a lot of stuff. And I thought about it for the rest of the day, and I thought, holy shit, I actually do collect a bunch of things. So I have a collection of collections.
Yeah.
The two things that came to mind first was my Christmas decoration collection. So I only got a few pieces out, the ones that I could get to. I've got these two really big, I've got like four or five really big trunks in the garage that are full of my decorations, but I've been collecting them since I was about 13 years old. People buy me Christmas decorations for Christmas. It's like a thing. Obviously, you know, Richard and I travel a lot, with what he does. So I get to buy a lot of decorations when we travel. So I have three Christmas trees in my house.
Oh.
Come Christmas time. We actually need to invest in another one because my cat jumped onto the one and pulled it down. That last year I had to have my father-in-law drill holes into all the corners where the trees were to build a contraption that would stop the cat pulling the tree down. Because I wasn't going to do one of those American style upside down or put a cage around it. That was not going to happen. So I collect Christmas decorations. I have some really cool ones. Somebody bought this one for me last year, which I love.
What is that? It says,
if I haven't told you today, I'm vegan.
Oh, God. All right. Okay, I might have known. There we are.
We've got like really cute. How is this
what
camera?
Is that the Grinch?
I got the Grinch.
That's Grinch. That's cool.
I've got the Grinch. We've got Christmas decorations from the Guinness storehouse.
So hang on, did I make you, by asking you to be on this show this morning, did I make you go to the garage and haul out your Christmas decorations that are only meant to come out at the opposite time of the year?
Let me tell you, I was really excited when Sia called because I said to him, oh, am I going to have to get the decorations out? And then I thought, shit, I wish he had called me 2 days earlier because it's like a two-day thing to unpack and unbox. Everything's like in specialized boxes with bubble wrap and all sorts of stuff. There's some really delicate stuff here that's really old.
Amazing. I'm looking at all of this. So you guys have been all over the world. So you do collect like crazy stuff. You showed me that Guinness one just now. But you've got a fortune of these decorations. And what are those, a whole bunch of them on the fridge? Are those magnets?
No, they're all made out on a table. So after I unpack them, God, I've got to categorize them because they go to specific trees. So I have a white tree that goes in the dining room. That's only kind of like, just because it matches the decor, so it's all like white and a soft blue and silver. And then I've got a traveling tree. A traveling tree hosts only decorations that I've bought on my travels with country names on them, for instance. And then I've got like a big red, classic red, green, and gold tree that oh my God, that's the one my cat pulled down, actually. It's like the biggest tree.
I've got to say that one of the best things about this, if you know someone is like Jasmine, then you always know you can find them a Christmas present or a birthday present. It's easy because if you go to a place that she hasn't been to before and you buy her a decoration for a traveling tree, you've made her day. It's that easy. People who don't have a collection, if people don't have a hobby, it's very difficult to buy them presents.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So,
that's my dog Tang. The festivities.
Oh.
So if you look around here, you can see that. I mean, and this was in 2017, I think. So the collection has almost doubled since then.
It's amazing. That is so cool. So even the dogs get in on this. All right. So Jazz, I know that that's not all you collect, but Christmas is my favorite time of year too. So I have a whole box of not four trunks, as you call them, of decorations, but I've got one box of those. I suppose you can call that a collection, but you've got other things as well, right?
I do. I collect tea sets. I started collecting tea sets when I was about 22. My first one was a Maxwell Williams, and then I had to really upgrade, and now I collect Wedgwood and Royal Albert. I took out, I don't know if you can see, that's one individual teacup from each one of my sets.
Okay, yeah, show us some of those close up because they look pretty amazing.
Oh, I love this. This is a single though. So this one my uncle got me because my birth month in it.
Oh.
I know, right? I know. We've got Wedgwood.
Are these very difficult to find? Oh, Wedgwood. Now, that is,
oh. I mean,
some of those are very expensive and quite old. I mean, the Wedgwood factory started in like the 1700s in England.
Yes, very old. So I have a tea set that's like over 200 years old. It was my great-grand or something, and this is it. And it's still completely, fully intact.
That's beautiful.
I know. They really are.
And you haven't lost anything. Because that's obviously porcelain. That stuff will break very easily, and, you know, you have to hand wash it. Do you ever use the tea sets?
I do. I actually had a special cupboard built for my collection. So I only kind of bring it out at special occasions, but Richard and Richard's dad are not allowed to drink out of my tea set. Because they are like fools in a china shop, and it's like the tea sets don't come out with the two of them. So they get to drink out of like the thick mugs that I get from La Crusade.
The ones that if you drop them, they just bounce.
Yeah.
Now, these are hard to find. Do you go to antique shops and like spend hours in there looking for stuff? Because they're always these little shops, and then they have three or four of the teacups, but they haven't got the pot, or they haven't got this, or whatever. So you really have to source the stuff from all over the world.
Not so much from all over the world. I've actually been lucky that I have found them locally. There's a really great little china shop in what's it called? Oh, it's in Cape Town.
St. James, perhaps?
In Cold Bay,
yeah. I know that shop. So yes, I know that shop. It's actually in St. James, on the border of St. James in Cold Bay.
Okay.
And I've collected a few jugs from there, ceramic jugs. But that shop is like a museum. It is unbelievable. And yet you can't have children in there or allow Rich or his dad to walk through that shop, because you can barely turn in there.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
If memory serves me right, they actually make you take your handbag off your shoulder and make you leave it at the front door. It is like wall to wall. You've got to kind of walk sideways like a crab like this. That's crazy. That store's unbelievable. So yeah, Gareth, to answer your question, I get my stuff there. I think I bought one or two cups overseas. People gift them to me because they know obviously I collect them. As well as my spoon collection. People also buy me spoons. So yeah, I collect weird things.
Spoon collections. I would remember. There's always some bizarre old aunt who would collect spoons in every family, right? And they'd collect those
spoons. Those are not the spoons I collect, though. I know what spoons you're thinking of. You're thinking of those ones with the weird little crests and all sorts of stuff on them. They have like a hanging cupboard that they like hang. I don't have one of those.
I hate those. But I just want to refer to something. It's so ironic. We're talking about collections, and Leanne is collecting the one thing she doesn't need more of is jugs. I mean, that's
just want to point that out. Oh, yes.
How long have you been collecting jugs for, Leanne?
No, I literally only have three of them.
Most people only have two, but okay.
I mean, I think I have more than three, but I wouldn't call it a collection.
No, exactly.
That's pretty
Also, some break along the way. I mean, with moving, it's just a nightmare. As mentioned, Gareth, my mom has a collection of Ardmore, and those always break during the move. It's just, it's annoying.
No, well, I mean, that's why. So, I mean, Jasmine, you moved down to Cape Town a couple of years ago, and you must have been terrified that you'd break some of this stuff. You wrap it in bubble wrap and then in other stuff and polystyrene flakes and all kinds of crap.
Yeah, so the tea sets actually didn't go down with the movers. They came with me on the plane. I bought them a ticket, actually, for the seat next to me. I'm kidding. I didn't. But I was close. They were on the plane with me. I didn't send them down with the movers because I was terrified. It's something you can't replace, and that's freaking out.
going back to the Christmas decorations for a second, I see you wearing a Darth Vader Christmas sweater. That is pretty damn awesome. I love that. That is so cool. Oh my God. Christmas in your house must be fantastic.
It is a thing. Everything is quite color coordinated. If I host Christmas, so Richard's immediate family, you're talking like 50 people. That's immediate.
Oh my God.
They're the ones who come to the house. And I specifically say to them, these are the colors that you have to wear for the photograph. And you have to wrap your Christmas presents in brown paper with either green, red, or gold ribbons. And if they wrap them in that colorful wrapping, I will re-wrap them. I will wrap over the wrapping and beneath the tree.
You're a lunatic.
My OCD doesn't allow for like retro colors underneath the tree. It doesn't allow for that at all. I can't compute things like that.
All right. So we have Christmas decorations. We have tea sets. We have what else? What else have you got? Because I know that's not the end of the collection.
So I collect, I have a small collection of rocks. So when Richard and I travel, I like to bring back an actual piece of the country, like an actual piece of the country. I don't have any except this one lying around. So I got this one in Iceland, which is my favorite country to visit ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, oh, wow.
That's like some kind of piece of volcanic something that we got. Okay.
There it is. Look at that. That's pretty cool, though. That's
and it's got like these incredible crystals growing inside. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know. So,
that is pretty cool. No, because every time you, I mean, now you do have a piece of Iceland with you in your house, no matter what.
I do. Cool. So I collect like rocks from different countries, but I think the most bizarre collection that I have is a collection of spoons, like I was saying. So I collect spoons. I want to say it's a collectomania. My spoon collection is more of a kleptomania with spoons. Oh. I brought three of my favorites out here today to show you because I was telling Sia last night, I had, it must have been about 3 years ago, my mom called me and I was really upset because somebody had done something with my favorite spoon and I was really upset about it. And I thought, why bloody hell am I getting so upset about a spoon? And she started laughing and she said, oh my God, I thought you would have grown out of this. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, you've always had this weird thing with spoons. Since you were a kid, you refused to eat certain things with certain spoons. You didn't like how they felt, so they hurt your lips or came up with something. And it is very much a real thing. So I will go to a restaurant and I'll, you know, they'll give me like a little teaspoon and I'll absolutely fall in love with it. And listen, in my defense, I always check the back to check the brand and then I go online quickly to see if they're available. And I usually ask if I can have the spoon, but we know what the answer is going to be. So the spoon just kind of makes its way into
my head. Oh my God. It's a kleptomania, not a collectomania.
It is a kleptomania. So let me say, those two green spoons are Richard's spoons because he's now adopted my love of spoons. That black spoon is the spoon I drink like a brothy soup and noodles with. And that gold plastic spoon is the only spoon I will eat cereal with. I won't eat cereal with any other spoon.
My God, wow. You really are bizarre.
It is a thing. And then I've got spoons with like, I mean, that have been passed down to me and my family, like a silver spoon with obviously my maiden initials on them. You can't see. They say JJ on them. And then this is the greatest spoon of all time. So it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen a spoon like this.
It's got a little bit of
it's like a tin opener.
I don't know why they make spoons like this anymore because it is effing genius. So that little hook over there, let me just show you one of mine or something.
This little hook,
it's called a jam spoon. And you put it into the bottle and then it hooks onto the edge, so the spoon doesn't go into the jar, and then you know you get it out and you get all on your fingers. Ugh. So this, it's genius. I don't know why they're not making spoons like this anymore. Anyways,
that is unreal. Okay, I knew we would have a fun time with you this morning, but I actually completely underestimated how much fun we would have. No, really. This is probably my favorite Collectomania episode so far, just because we've gone like the entire length and breadth and width of what.
Oh, sorry, we've gone over time.
No, not at all. I mean, I know there are probably still other things that you also collect. And I mean, I know you're an artist and you collect other art and you collect gin and a whole bunch of other stuff. But I mean, this is plenty to feed on for one morning. My God. Sia, you wanted to ask something?
No, I just marvel at the sheer passion of her collection. I've never thought I'd be this intrigued at someone discussing spoons for a couple of minutes.
Spoons are a serious thing, Sia. You know what? You're gonna spend the day today putting different spoons in your mouth, and you're gonna realize like, oh, that one actually feels really good. Oh, that one doesn't feel so good. Oh, that one works much better with a cold dessert than it does with a hot dessert. Like I have certain soup spoons that I'll eat certain soups with, and you'll start realizing this when you start concentrating on this. Your spoon awareness will just intensify, and you'll thank.
Well, I mean, people are saying that spoon that you showed us, the jam spoon, is genius. So they should be making more spoons like that. Carl says this woman is crazy. Imagine Christmas at her house. It sounds fucking painful, he says, but I think it's Pichleng says this person is crazy. Wow, she needs help. It's the best episode so far, I must say. And you should be good, Vanny. All right, listen. Love seeing you. Give our love to Rich Mulholland, please, because we always love to speak to him and to find out how he's doing. And we'll catch up with you soon. Jasmine, you were fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Anytime. Have a great day.
Awesome. Very, very good. Yeah. There's Jasmine Mulholland and her collection. Isn't that cool?
Oh, gosh. Wow. Yeah. She has a lot of energy as well, hey? Lovely.
She's so good. Yeah, she's always been great. I've known her for years. I actually knew her before I knew Rich. And she's terrific. Ruth says, Gareth, do you remember the Darth Vader T-shirt I got you? Absolutely, Ruth. I still wear it often. I love anything Star Wars, so thank you for that. Of course I do.
One last Jasmine tidbit. She told me that Rich Mulholland just has one simple thing that he asks of her, which is, please don't put Christmas decorations up until after my birthday. That's all he asks of her. Now, his birthday is on the 14th or the 16th of October, and she literally counts the moments up until midnight strikes, his birthday is done, and then she puts Christmas decorations up. She says this past year, she took her Christmas decorations down in mid-Jan. So from you'd think October to mid-Jan, Lord, that's a lot.
You know, I love that. I think people who are enthusiastic about things like Christmas, they just make it so special for the rest of us. I've always credited my mum with making Christmas so special for our family, and as a result, it's my favorite time of the year. I get as excited as Jasmine does. So I just absolutely love that. Okay, Lucky wants to know, Gareth, how was your interview with that moron Mac G? No, we actually had a really, really good conversation. I found him to be an extremely good interviewer, and I enjoyed everything about the interview. And afterwards, it felt like I hadn't been there for more than 10 minutes, but it had been well over an hour by that stage. So it was great. I mean, see, you listened to the whole thing. I don't know when he's putting it out, but it's good.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, so you can take a listen to that. In the next little while, there are a few other things we need to do, like the like and subscribe thing, which we have to do every day. I'm sorry about this. Leanne, will you do it for me today, please?
Well, come back to my channel. Be sure to smash that like button and to smash the subscribe bell so that you don't miss out on any of our content.
There we go. Thank you so much. What would we do without you, Leanne? That was perfect. By the way, what is happening in YouTube world? You're subscribed to all those channels with all of these famous YouTubers. Because I heard something about that one dude who you told us about, whose name I cannot remember now, the makeup guy. I heard that he's
Jeffree Star.
There's been a whole lot of controversy.
There was a titty someone. Who was the titty person?
Tati Westbrook. Tati Westbrook. Shane Dawson. So I have actually removed myself from all of that drama because it was becoming really petty. I'm still subscribed, but I don't really watch their videos anymore because, and mostly because of James Charles, who's the other one, who's really
irritated
the shit out of me.
There was, they put up a picture, and I follow this one Instagram thing about these, you know, huge mansions and beautiful houses in America.
It would have been Jeffree Star's.
Jesus, this house, you have to fucking see it to believe it. It looks like, I mean, it probably has 300 rooms in it. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And swimming pools and indoor cinemas, gyms and fountains. And oh my God, it's just, and you're telling me this is a YouTuber?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's far more than a YouTuber. He has his own makeup franchise.
Wow.
He was a makeup artist to start with, and he's made his billions through makeup. That's really, really something amazing that he's done with his life. And he talking about goals earlier, he had these goals, and he wanted to look after his mum, and his mum now lives in a wing of the mansion. So he's extremely inspiring and a very hard worker. Just very controversial and a bit of a dark history when it comes to racism, etc. So I've actually found myself flipping over to TikTok a lot more, and I've become completely addicted to that now. Oh my word. And not just the stupid videos, you know. It's actually a really good work tool for me as well. So whatever your industry is, there's so many useful tips from people who are just giving the stuff out for free. I mean, something as silly as an Excel formula that you could never get right. Just things like that, which is really, really interesting. And then, of course, there's all the silly stuff as well.
It's so funny. Like my dad asked me the other day, I know why he asked me, because I'm the last of his children to be asked this kind of question. He's like, can you maybe take me through some stuff on Excel? I'm like, you're asking the wrong guy.
No.
Jesus.
Brother would be much better at that.
Yeah. My brother and my sister, frankly, they know how to use it. I don't know how to use Excel. I've never learned how to use Excel. If someone sends me an Excel spreadsheet, I don't know how to open the damn thing, let alone interpret
it. You can't do like Google Sheets and Google Docs.
Sia sends me these emails with like Google Docs attached to them, and I'm like, no, don't understand. Just put it on one page.
A lot of it's self-taught. Excel, you could not really teach yourself absolutely everything about it.
Because I get these really, really sweet and well-meaning people who send me, you know, offers to teach me how to do Excel for free and give me a week's course. And I really appreciate it, but don't bother, because I'm not going to. I will not bother, and you shouldn't either. Just leave me in my ignorance. There's some things in the world I never need to know about, and Excel's one of them. I'll make sure that I've always got someone who can do that stuff for me. Otherwise, I just won't go near it. Mm-hmm. I can still do very basic stuff, but I'm talking about like the most basic software available. I still use a calculator. I still do things manually, and it makes me happy. So there's some stuff I never need to learn, and that's one of them. So thank you for
absolutely.
I don't want you to offer to give me free Excel training. I'm not going to be doing it. So thank you.
No, and it's healthy to do that and say, look, I'm just never going to get into this and stop stressing about it.
I mean, Eleutheria says that TikTok is so full of info. Oh my word, it is massive. And I think that's
you really have to follow the right people and look past all the silliness, because it can be really interesting. I mean, obviously, so there is this girl on YouTube, Eugenia Cooney, who is anorexic, and she doesn't even mention the word anorexia, and doesn't even admit that she has it. And the worst part is that her mom's like her biggest supporter and allows her to go on without getting treatment. I know that Eugenia was in treatment recently and had a good interview with Shane Dawson on her treatment, but just basically goes about her daily life pretending that nothing's wrong. And her equivalent I've seen now on TikTok, called Caroline_Music. She's doing the same thing, but she's admitting to the anorexia. And I watched her live on TikTok for about an hour last night, talking about her situations. So, I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff. And if you're into collections or crafts, that's amazing as well.
Listen, I don't go on TikTok. I don't have an account there, but I sometimes see this stuff on, you know, like on Instagram, for example. And that's enough for me. I'm also happy with it. You have to demarcate something that you're not going to do, because otherwise you will be chasing the tail of whatever's going on for the rest of your life. You know, there'll be something that comes up. I guarantee you, like 5 to 10 years from now, there'll probably be no one paying attention to Facebook anymore. There'll be very few people on Twitter. Instagram will have moved on too. There'll be new things. I mean, like, who would have predicted TikTok 3 years ago, right? The way that it's grown in the last 3 years. And perhaps, you know, for young people who've never been on Facebook, that feels like MySpace did to us. Remember?
Yes.
You can't chase these things. You'll go crazy. You'll go absolutely mad.
Point.
Yeah, unless it's your job like it is with mine, working in social media, and I have to try to keep on top of these things. I have no problem with someone saying, I'm just never going to get into that. It's a healthy thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we got time for today, I'm afraid. We've got to call this this fun to an end. And if you have anything that you'd like to throw into the mix, if you'd like to have Dr. Fanon look at something that you're interested in from a psychological point of view, we can do that on Mondays. If you have a collection that you want to share with us, you can get hold of us on Collectomania. Just gareth@cliffcentral.com is the email address, and I'll make sure that we get hold of all the people that you want to hear from. Also, if you have suggestions for the TV show, because we're recording today, we've got, I think, 4 more episodes of the TV show to do, and then it has been, believe it or not, a year that we've been doing that show on ENCA. So if you have ideas around that, gareth@cliffcentral.com too, and let us know what you'd like those 4 shows to be about, who you'd like to have on those last 4 shows, and we'll get our act together and make sure that it's all ready to go at the touch of a button, just like cliffcentral.com is there for you at the touch of a button every single morning. Tomorrow is not excluded, from 6 a.m. until 8 a.m. Nice to see everybody. Nice to be with you this morning, and we will see you tomorrow.
Welcome back.
Good stuff. We'll see you tomorrow. Cheers, everybody. CliffCentral.com.